I think we left off last year. We were talking about the mitzvah deraisa krishma. Most of the Rishonim assume that there is a text of krishma deraisa, but it's unclear what that text is. So some of the Rishonim said it's the first pasuk, some said it's the first parsha, there's two parshas. So the Rambam seems to say in the beginning of it was krishma, but it's all three parshas, which is a little bit startling. Because the third parasha is not really Shema, the third parasha is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Rambam seems to hold, as what Chaim explained, what the Rambam means. The Rambam seems to hold that the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim every day is not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's part of the mitzvah Kabbalas Abach HaShemayim. And like in the world of Ashkofa, how do we know the Rebbeinu Shalom is the Hashem HaKadosh Shem HaChad? We know that through the events of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So you can't have a Kabbalas Abach HaShemayim b'shlemusa without referencing Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim is the raya, so to speak, for Shema Yisrael. So the Rambam holds that it's not two different mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah. One mitzvah is called Kabbalas Abach HaShemayim. So one of the dimensions of Kabbalas Abach HaShemayim is the mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what Reb Chaim says, that the Rambam doesn't count as the Chiyuv Yitzias Mitzrayim as a separate mitzvah. Reb Chaim has two biurim. One, the Rambam left it out of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam, at the beginning of his Krishna, writes as a mitzvah to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why didn't he count it as a separate mitzvah? So the Rambam, the Reb Chaim says in one biur, like we said, that it's not a mitzvah before the Hatzvah, it's part of the pre existing mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And the Eidish Lomer Reb Chaim says that the Rambam holds it's not a mitzvah, it's l'heges l'deiros, because since we paskin that kol yimei chayecha is l'rabos halelos, therefore there's no posik to tell me that you have to say it's Yisrael Mitzrayim in Yimos HaMashiach. So we paskin that loch that in Yimos HaMashiach there's going to be a bottle of the mitzvah, it's Yisrael Mitzrayim. So any mitzvah that's going to be b'teilo l'yasad lavo is not called a mitzvah, that's called a harashah. Harashah means that it's given for a certain limited time. So most harashahs are for one generation, like Dor Midbar, Dor Bar Arts. This is a very, very long harashah until Mashiach comes. If Mashiach comes, then this harashah will cease to exist. That's what the Reb Chaim says. That's already quite a long harashah. We've been doing it for a couple of thousand years. But anyway, back to that story. So this beer of Reb Chaim, that according to the Rambam, Yitzias Mitzrayim, is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So this is not like the Shagasari. The Shagasari has a very strong piece where he tries to show you that the mitzvah of Yitzias and the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema are two totally separate mitzvahs. Because Manash Hazeh is Lochish Manash Hazeh, and one is Potter for one, and one is Potter for the other. They're two legitimate different mitzvahs. It's a mamash mitzvah for the Atzma. And Reb Chaim claimed with Asa Rambam that it's not the case, that it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And Rechol Potter said, well, at least we know what the text of Kriyat Shema is, Minat Torah, either one pasuk, one parash, two parash, three parashas. But Midrabbanan, and everybody agrees, you have to say all the parashas. You have to see all the parshas in order, like the way we say them. So parshas not. The Mishnah says that Lama Kodma Parshas Shema L'Vayom Shema. Why do we say it the way we do? So the Mishnah gives us these very beautiful philosophical drush, very sermonic type of reasons. First Shema Kavol Bachas Shemayim, then Kavol Mitzvahs, etc. So that's what there are many who say that in the Eved, if you said it out of order, yeah, it's it. I mean, it's not like reading the Megillah out of order. If you say within the parsha itself out of order, that's a problem. But if you say the Vayoma before Shema, so there's nothing intrinsically requiring you to say in the order that they appear in the Siddur. And everyone agrees to that. Some Achmarim say, nope, that's the Chas HaCham, you have to say in order, you have to say in order, and you mix up the order, you would have to repeat this. That's a question. Within the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, so the Gemara says in the beginning of the second Perek of Brachis, that in addition to having a mitzvah Shebedibu, Medibartabam, the Torah also speaks about Al Levavecha. The Torah speaks about the requirement of thinking about what we're saying, concentrating on what we're saying, a mitzvah's kavanah. So that's what the Gemara has a whole discussion about how much of Kriyat Shema requires kavanah saleh. How much of Kriyat Shema do you have to pay attention to what you're saying? So the Gemara has different opinions, and we seem to pass in the halacha only the first pasuk. That if a guy spaces out in the middle of a haftah, that's not so terrible. If he spaces out in the middle of Shema Yisrael, so then he's not going to be, I'd say, the mitzvah altogether. So that's what the Rashba writes in the beginning of the Sechel Berger Brachas, that this sugya that appears in the Sechel Berger Brachas about how much kavanah you need, this is not the sugya mitzvah's kavanah. The sugya mitzvah's kavanah means that I blew the shofar, but I'm blowing because I like the sound. I'm practicing my trumpet. Or I ate the matzah because somebody forced me to eat a lot of matzah. But I didn't eat a l'shem mitzvah. Here, I'm doing a l'shem mitzvah. I'm in shul. It says, time to say Kriyat Shema. So have in mind, it says Kriyat Shema. And then when I say Shema Yisrael, I'm thinking about the ball game. So the Rashba says, that's not the sugya mitzvah's kavanah. Let's say a regular mitzvah. Guy shakes a lulav. He has in mind the l'shem mitzvah's lulav. And as he shakes the lulav, he's thinking about his final next week. That's not a problem. I mean, it's not a nice thing to do. That's not mivatal the mitzvah. That's not a lack of mitzvah shichas kavana. Mitzvah kavana is fulfilled as long as you have in mind the shem mitzvah. But here, there's an additional din, says the Rashba, that you have to have in mind the kavana sa'inyan. You have to pay attention to kavana sa'inyan. That's the special din of Alam Avecha Shvai. So whatever the mocha for that additional din is. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Rashi B'Halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a guy says Kriyishma, even though he said it L'Shem Mitzvah, but he spaced out Lagamri during Shema Yisrael, so he's not really into the Mitzvah, so you have to be careful about that. There's a Ramban that seems to deny that those two dinim of Kravon, but Lamai said the Mishnah Berurah Paskas Halacha like this Rashba, the Yidin second back of Brachas. When in order to perform the Mitzvah of a Dibartabam, so there, Kriyishma is one of those mitzvah shibadibur. We have a lot of mitzvah shibadibur. There's Birchas Abos is mitzvah shibadibur, Kiddush is mitzvah shibadibur, Sipitzis Mitzrayim is mitzvah shibadibur. We have a lot of mitzvah shibadibur. So Kriyishma is one of them. So there are several shilas that come up concerning many of the mitzvah shibadibur. Many of them are the same. Sometimes they're slightly different. So one question that comes up is, when the Torah gives us mitzvah shibadibur, so do you have to actually hear what you're saying? Is it enough just to utter the words, even though you don't actually hear? You're talking very whispering, very, very low. But it's actually a shvi'a la'azno. So that was about like it's a tanoim. So we paskin that hoytze b'sfasim apish lo shvi'a la'azno yatsa. But the avid you would be yatsa. L'chad chili is supposed to say loud enough to hear it, but the avid you would be yatsa. So the Rashba quotes a raiva that says that that's a l'chad chili deraisa. That mitzvah, that idea that you're supposed to say shma, you're supposed to bend, you're supposed to be kiddush loud enough that you could hear the words, that's not just psa chumra midderabonim, that's not a hidu midderabonim, that's a hidu midderaisa. There's a concept of a l'chad chila midderaisa. And Tosus in Maseches Nida writes that sometimes you can have l'chad chilas midderaisa and sometimes not. Tosus claims that you can't have l'chad chila midderaisa when you go to the mikvah, because going to the mikvah is a matir, it's not a mitzvah. It's going to make you tar. So if you are tar b'dieved, then you did the tefillah properly. There's no such thing as a matir l'chad chila. The whole concept of a mitzvah l'chad chila on the level of deraisa is only by mitzvah, says Tosus. That's what this Rashba and the Rabbi would say also, that by mitzvah you could have a mitzvah l'chad chila. So b'daraisa, you have to say Kriyishma in a certain fashion, Birchas Hamazon, Kiddush, Sipitzu Tzrayim, you're supposed to say it in a certain fashion that Yishmiel Ozno. But the evidence, if you said it without being Yishmiel Ozno, you would still be Yitzay. What if you didn't say it altogether? What if you didn't utter the words altogether? All you did was think. You just were Maharer in the Kriyishma. So that's a sukkah in the third parak of Maseches Brachos, and most of the Rishonim paskin that here alav kedipa dami, that doesn't count. If a guy just sits and contemplates, thinks, and he looks at the sitter and he stares at the words and he thinks Shema Yisrael, but he doesn't articulate the words, he doesn't even open his mouth b'chlal. That's nothing. That would not be a mitzvah shibadibur. What if a person didn't write the words? Didn't think he wrote the words? So would that constitute as a mitzvah shibadibur? So I think we spoke about that by Birchas Torah a little bit. So Rabbi Kibbeg has a truth about that. Whenever there's a mitzvah shibadibur, is it enough to simply write down? The Gemara says in Gittin that if when Edom come to Beis, then they have to verbalize their Edus, apiyam, lower peak sovim. So it's not clear, is that a din, only a unique din of Edus, or is that a din called takul? Whenever there's a din of Beal Piv, so Piv means with your mouth, it means with your lips. It doesn't mean you write down a piece of information. That's not called expressing it. So a guy is going to get up and write down, wakes up in the morning, writes down Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. So according to one side of Rukidega, maybe it's Tachay Yitzay, and according to the other, that's meaningless. That the din is Dibur, Dibur requires a Dibur. Whenever there's a mitzvah Shebet Dibur, so there's always a question whether it has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, or whether it can be done in Shal Lashonos. So this sometimes there's some dinim that are obvious and some not so obvious. So the Mishnah says in the end of Masechta Sota, there are certain parashas of the Torah, certain mitzvahs of the Torah that you can say in any language that you want, and there are other mitzvahs of the Torah that you have to say dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. How do you know which are which? So it's all based on psukim. So sometimes the pasuk is marba al lashonis, and another place that the pasuk is not marba al lashonis. So the Mishnah says, for example, Birchas Kohanim. So Birchas Kohanim, it says, Kos of Archas Bnei Yisrael, Kos of Lashon L'Kacha. It's got to be like this, Likuva. So if a Kohen gets up in Duchens and he says, no, the Lord shall bless thee and guard thee and grant thee. So that doesn't count. You have to say, Yerech Shem Yishmerecha. Let's say, Parshas Bikurim, Aram Yovit Avi. So the guy's going to say, my ancestor was a wandering Aramean. That doesn't mean anything. You have to say, Aram Yovit Avi, the way Kekos B'Torah. Parshas Chalitz has to be B'Losh Nekodesh Kekos B'Torah. That was a Moshe's right. You know, the Yom for Pesach Zohar. Baisha writes that even though Chalitza has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, Lo Shemana Davizem Eilam, that we should be makbid, that you have to say it in all the different Havarot. that every time we do a chalitza, guys got to say it in Moroccan and Tunisian and Yemenite and Yekis and Hungarian and Litvishes, just to make sure I got the Lashna Kurdish properly. It's a joke. No one ever heard of such a thing. So Moshe writes, the reason is because that's what school called Lashna Kurdish. Lashna Kurdish means that this is the way a group of Klai Israel speak the holy tongue. Whether it is exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu say Oi? Did he say Es? Did he say Eth? Did he say Eth? Did he say Jaffe? Who? I have no idea. I couldn't care less. Says Moshe, doesn't make a difference how Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. What matters is that everyone understands. You walk in the shul, you hear them saying Zachor Et Asher Asalach Amalek. Well, they're saying Zachah. Listen carefully. You realize that it's the same sukkah chumash. So Moshe says that's all called Lashon HaKodesh. So there's no need to play these games. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, a lot of yeshivas, they do that. They have 15,000 different Kriyas Parshas Zochos. You name the Havara, they lay it. So Moshe says that's a big joke. So Moshe Shtermach also writes in his Sefer, he thinks it's a big joke. He thinks that it's the never will Lahoy Dvami, it should be such a chumrah. But it's a popular chumrah in some places in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, back to this story. So when it comes to certain parashas, it's obvious it has to be with Lashon HaKodesh, and others, the Gemara says it's going to be B'chol Lashon. So what about Kriyishma? Where does Kriyishma fit into this picture? So that was a machlekes hatanoim between Rebbe and the Rabbanon. So we pass it like the Rabbanon that Kriyishma can be b'chol lashon. So you could say hero Israel, etc., and you would be I'd say. The Mishabur writes that even though that's the din, mikra din, you could say Kriyishma din. In other languages, the Mishabur writes that it's not a good idea to do that for a few reasons. First of all, he says that we don't really know how to translate certain words. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly how do you translate letotafos. That's a phylacteries. Who made up that word? That's a word. I have no idea who made up that word. So there are a lot of words that are not 100% clear what they, how do you translate them properly. So therefore, the Mishnah writes, it's not a great idea to be Yitzhak Krishma in Alashan if you don't have to. And then he writes, that because the reform, one of the big breakthroughs in reform in Europe is that they tried to change the davening into German. So Mishnah Berurah says that we shouldn't do that. Even though Meikra did, the guy does Lashon HaKodesh, he can say Kriyishma in German. We shouldn't do it. We should try to, again, say, teach about saying Kriyishma in Lashon HaKodesh, because we don't want to mimic the reformers. But Meikra did, we paskin that Kriyishma is from one of those mitzvahs, that's Nemaros B'chol Lashon. When we say that something is Nemar B'chol Lashon, so there was a big question, does that mean you have to understand the Lashon? So that's how Mishnah Berurah paskens, because if you don't speak that language, that's not going to be good. So I don't speak French, so I'm going to hold a book and write it over transliterated into the French so I can say it. I'm going to say, Shema Yisrael, Polyvu France. I don't know what the words mean, if I still don't understand what I'm saying. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you wouldn't be Yaitse. The many Rishonim say you wouldn't be Yaitse. Well, let's say, for example, let's say I say Kriyishma, I speak French. I have enough to say, but I speak French. And I say Kriyishma in French in New York. So most people don't speak French in New York. So Mishnah Berurah quotes a group of Rishonim that say that you wouldn't be Yaitse either. That in order for something to be Yaitse, Mishnah Loshon, it has to be two conditions. You have to understand it, and the people around you have to understand it as well. Either one of those conditions are missing, so Mishnah Berurah says that's a problem, and you wouldn't be Yaitse. Why is that? Mishnah Berurah explains that there's a big difference between Lashon HaKodesh and other Lashonos. It says Lashon HaKodesh is objectively a language. Rav Hashem is Baruch Olam of Lashon HaKodesh. That's why some say that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, because it's the Lashon of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's the holy tongue that Rav Hashem speaks. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Kaveh, and this is the only official language. All other languages only get their status of languages because people view them as languages. The Olam speaks it, so that's the way people communicate with one another. So that's considered to be a language. So the Mishnah Berurah says that when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, whether you understand it, so it's still objectively called a language. Moshe Ein Kein, when it comes to Shal Shonos, what gives it the koyach of a language is the fact that you understand it, people understand it, it's a way of communicating, but if it's not serving that function of communicating, because you don't speak it, and even if you speak it, nobody around you speaks it, so that's not, that wouldn't be acceptable. So then it always comes a little bit trickier. Where do you draw the line? Let's say in Eretz Yisrael. About Shuba in Eretz Yisrael, he has no idea how to speak Hebrew. And he wants to daven, he wants to say Kriyishma in English. So would you say that English is a language in Eretz Yisrael? I think so. Probably most places in Eretz Yisrael, people speak English. Some places in Eretz Yisrael, they only speak English. So if a guy wants to say Kriyishma in certain communities, maybe we only say it in English. But you can say, Lashon HaKodesh, you can be Yaitse everywhere, no matter what. But you can only be Yaitse if people speak it enough. Not everyone agrees to this. To the second half of Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah has Raya's claims from Rishonim, claims from Raya's Sugyas Gemara that if you live in a place that they don't speak that language or that location, so that's no good. He has a Raya from the Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Kedushim. The Gemara says that if you're Mekadosh and Isha, so you have to say the Lasha, that's clear, it's a Lasha Kedushin. So the Gemara says, what if you say to a woman, or a Charufasi? So Charufasi is a funny word. Is that be the Lasha Kedushin? So the Gemara says that in some places it did, some places it didn't. So the Gemara, at one place, one stage, the Sugya says, if you live in that place, you live in Eretz Yehuda, where the word Charufa was synonymous with the Kedushas, so then it works. If you live in the Galilee, you live in every Yardim, when nobody knows what you're talking about, so then it wouldn't work. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I see from here that languages have to be meaningful to the people around you, not just to you yourself. So others are Deicha L'Raya, that's different, because yes, Kedushin, if nobody else speaks the language, she doesn't know what you're talking about. They don't know what you're talking about. So if you give her a ring and say, Erecha Orfasi, she never heard Shecharufa, she doesn't know what you're talking about. Literally, she doesn't know what language you're talking. Masha'inkein, I'm speaking to me and the Rabban Shalom. So Mach Pati, what if someone else understands? If I'm speaking English, I'm in the middle of Argentina. No one knows what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. Rav Shlomo knows what I'm talking about. So Mach Patli, with other people know what I'm talking about. So the Mishnah Berurah understood that the knowledge of other people is what opens was Mach Shvei the language. It gets the chalashim, it gets the shame lashon. It's not called the lashon. Otherwise, it's called just grunting. Let's say you have a guy decides and says, in my personal language, so the word for Shema is hmm, and word for Yisrael is boo. And the word for Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Bah. So the guy gets up and says, Bah, boo, boo. He said, I said, Shema, what do you mean? I said, for me, that's good. So Mishnah Berurah says, that's a farce. He said, no one knows what you're talking about. So that's not called the language. So I'm not sure what the other Rechavarim would say about that. The other Rechavarim would say, those who disagree with Mishnah Berurah, they would say, no, no, no. If you speak one of like an official language, if I speak French, it just happens to be New York here, no one knows what I'm talking about, that's okay. If I speak like a caveman, I speak like a grunt and I bang people over the head, that's nothing. It's just sounds. That's not words. The machlal is not typist as a language. So the machlekes of Mishnah Berurah, the others, it's a linguistic machlekes, whether a language has to be chal in the place that it is, or as long as it's a base, it's a method of communication for normal people somewhere in the world, even that would suffice. But getting back to that story, so the bottom line is you have to say Krishna, you have to know what you're talking about, and you have to have kavanah, and you have all these dinim that govern the mitzvahs deeper of Krishna. In addition, the Mishnah says, Mishnah Machlekes HaTanoim, let's say a person says Krishna and he's not so medactic in the words. So he slurs the words a little bit. He says, instead of saying v'chara af Hashem, he says v'charaf Hashem v'chem v'avadat meira. He pushes the two letters together. So the Gemara is paskin. We paskin mikra din that lo dikim v'chem say you still yaitze. But l'chad chilos is supposed to say the words properly. It's a little bit slow to especially Mafi Benedvekis, the words that tend to slur one to another, you should try to make sure to be careful to separate them. We mentioned before that in addition to the din of Kavanah, the unique Kavanah for Kriya Shema, there's a general din of Kavanah, of all mitzvahs Kavanah. So that's what the Mishnah talks about at the beginning of the second parak of Brachas. The Mishnah talks about, say a guy was saying Shema anyway, for some other reason, he was saying Shema, he was being Mavised or something, he's a Sofer, he's writing Sefer Torah. He's up to Parshas Vaschal and he's saying the word Shema Yisrael. So the Mishnah talks about can he be Yaitse Kriya Shema at that point. Lamaisi is saying the words. On the other hand, he's not doing Lashem Mitzvah. So the Gemara says that's the Sugah Mitzvah's Kavanah. That's not the unique din of Kavanah by Kriya Shema. The unique din of Kriya Shema's Kavanah is you have to understand what you're saying and pay attention to the Klos Machu Shemaim. But if a person is not even having in mind Lashem Mitzvah, so that's not doing Kriya Shema. That's a general question whether Mitzvah's Shechas Kavanah would say it's Yudas Kavanah. So there's a machloikis, a tanoim about that, machloikis, a marayim, machloikis, a misham. Today there's a shulchan aruch about that. How do we pass it? Do we pass it at mitzvah shechus kavanah? Do we pass it mitzvah shechus kavanah? So the shulchan aruch pass it at mitzvah shechus kavanah. Shulchan aruch quotes both opinions in Hilchos Kriya Shema, and he's machriya, talk about mitzvah shechus kavanah. There's a machloikis, acharonim, what the shulchan aruch meant. Does the shulchan aruch mean to say that he's sure that's the din? Belishim said, we have Nimnu Begamu, the later Rishonim, later Acharonim have decided that that's the ikra din, the mitzvah shechus kavanah, or no? He just meant he's not sure, and therefore be suffic. You have to be careful about it. And therefore, if you did a mitzvah without kavanah, let's say a guy was to kill a shear or something like that, he would have to repeat the mitzvah misafik. So that was a big machlokes acharonim. It's about mitzvah derabanan. The guy does a mitzvah derabanan and shalom derech kavanah. He's doing it for some other kind of a reason. He's not paying attention to what he's doing. He has some other kind of agenda. So would he be yaitzei or not? So some acharonim are, yeah. But by mitzvah derais, we have to be machir misafik. Mitzvah derabanan, we can be makel. And others say, no, we paskin with absolute certainty, but Torah is valid. They 1,000% certainty that mitzvah streams kavanah, lo shna deraisis, lo shna derabanan. So that's a question. We should record two opinions for that in Hilchos Kriya Shema. But again, the basic sugya of mitzvah streams kavanah, a Although it appears in Shulchan Aruch and Uchas Kriyashma, one of the primary sources is the Gemara in the beginning, Tzedek Mega Brachas. Nevertheless, the Rashba says that it's not really the same sugya. It's not the din prati of Kavanah Kriyashma. It's the din klali in terms of mitzvahs Kavanah. The Mishabura quotes Chai Adam that says that the sugya mitzvahs Kavanah means like this. It means every case the Gemara gives a mitzvahs Kavanah, or the lack thereof, is Hatakeh Lashir, Kafa V'yachal Matzah, Hayakar B'tar V'yuz Man Kriyashma. What if a person walks into shul, and he sits down, he opens up a siddur, and he begins to daven ma'ariv. And when he got to Abiyah, he got to Oyv Am Yisrael, he didn't stop and look in the article that says, have intention to fulfill the mitzvah deras. He didn't stop and think, Hini Mukhum Zumakam, it's the shelter. He just davened. He said, oh, my, the Shema Yisrael. He's at a wedding today. They get the Shema Yisrael. He said, Shema Yisrael. He's not thinking such. He's paying attention to the basic meaning of the words. Otherwise, that's believe Ach, Chavos, Ach, Shemaim. But he didn't think Kidney Mukham Zubul Hashem Mitzvah. So the Mishabuk was a Chayyadim and says, that's okay. That's not a lack of Mitzvah's Kavana. Mitzvah's Kavana, the Sugi Mitzvah's Kavana, is when I'm doing it and I'm clearly doing it for another reason. If I'm doing it because it's my religious obligation, whether I had formal Kavana, let's say Sarah, doesn't really matter. Of course I had Kavana. It's like Buvan Me'elov. I'm walking into shul with my tefillin, my talisman tefillin. I take off my talisman, take off my tefillin, put them on, and I'm not thinking anything. I'm half asleep. What are you here for? Obviously, you woke up at 6 in the morning to do talisman tefillin, to say Krishna, to daven. So even if you didn't formally follow what it says on the side of the article, sit at the daven mind, the shem mitzvah, so Mishabura quotes with that. That's not a problem. I mean, it's not the nicest way of doing mitzvah. That's not going to be a problem. When we say that mitzvah tzidus kavana, that just means belay, but it doesn't mean bedibur. There's no requirement to articulate one's dibur. That's what the Nei Yehuda had a time against the early Hasidim. So they made a big thing about these Lashem Yichud, saying all these Hini Mukham Zumans and everything. So the Yehuda writes that Shemar Dov Zemiyam, there's no such thing, no such halacha. But you have to have in mind, you have to articulate every time you do a mitzvah. You just do the mitzvah, that's it. A mitzvah Lashemar, you have to think about it a million times over, you don't have to say anything a million times over. You just do the mitzvah. That's called Kavanah Samitzvah. Okay, so again, so we have this mitzvah Kriya Shema, and one of the main components of the mitzvah Kriya Shema is the Zman Kriya Shema. Because the Torah says that the mitzvah has to take on very, very specific times. It's got to be B'shachach Uv Kumecha. So how exactly do we define B'shachach Uv Kumecha? So that's the first two Mishnayos and Maseches Brachos. So when it comes to Kriya Shema Shel Arvus, that's really Chilik Beis Mishnah, it's really next year, but we'll cheat now because it's part of this discussion. Now, the Gilagabi Kriya Shema Shel Arvus, so the Mishnah says it starts B'shach HaKohanim Nechlas HaLechem B'tumasun. When the Kohanim become Tohar at the end of the day, Kohen went to the Mikvah, he requires Harav Shemesh, so once it gets dark, so that's considered to be the end of the day for him, and now he can eat Truma. So at the moments that the Kohanim begin to eat the Truma, that's the earliest time to say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara explains that Beis and Brachas, that means Teis Kechavim. Because when the sun sets, we're still not sure. That's Benesh Mashas. And when the stars come out, that's considered to be the Tchilas HaLayla L'chol Adeyas. And that's the earliest time in Atarah to fulfill the mitzvah of B'shach B'cha. So on the spot, Rashi and Tosis on the very first Mishnah Brachas point out that people don't seem to be doing that. And that most people, a lot of people, a lot of shuls daven ma'ariv early, way before the stars come out. So how do we defend that practice? So Rashi writes that the Taka, they're not Yetzei, with the Kriya Shema they say in shul, they're going to be Yaitzei later at night before they go to sleep. They're going to say Kriya Shema Lamita. The Gemara says in Brachos, before you go to sleep, you should say Kriya Shema Lamita. So Rashi says that's what people are having in mind. That when they say, they daven ma'ariv a half hour before it says, that's Gornish, says Rashi. The real mitzvah is going to be performed 6 hours later. So Tosis got all nervous about it. Tosis said, first of all, half the time people forget, and they're not saying the full three parashiyos, and a lot of problems with that. Maybe people are not having such kavana. It's not a good idea to rely on that. So Taisa says they don't think that Rashi's pshat is right. So Taisa says that the emes of pshat is that we don't pass like the first mission of Brachos. We pass it like the other Tanoim who say that my Krishna was a little bit earlier. The Gemara in the base quotes other Tanoim, and the Gemara in the fourth paragraph quotes other Tanoim. So Taisa collects all the different Tanoim and says that we don't really pass like this first mission. It's a little bit of a downer. The first mission shas, opening mission, Tashma Paz, but not even halacha. So Taisus claims that we pass it, you can be yes, like a mincha at different times. You don't need mamish to say tzvichon. So we're not sure what the answer to that question is. That's what we daven ma'ariv early, let's say Friday night, so sometimes during the week people have to get stuck and daven ma'ariv early. So the poskim recommend, the rishonim recommend, you should say kriyash as soon as it gets dark. Don't rely on Rashi sheet that you're going to remember kriyash malamita, because you have to talk people forget. And don't rely on Rebbe Tab, Taisus, that says that you yaitse and mibi od yom, because it could be a pass like that. So the best thing to do is stop Rabbi Yehuda and say three parshas Kriyishma. Now you know that now you're good to go. So Zman Kriyishma at night has an early Zman. I'm not exactly sure what it is. It has a Sof Zman also. What is the Sof Zman? So that was the Machlekes at Tanoim. So the first Mishnah Brachas records the Machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and everybody else. And Rabbi Eliezer says that Sof Zman Kriyishma is 4 hours into the night. Let's say the night begins at 6 o'clock and ends at the next morning at 6. So at 10 o'clock, that's the Sof Zman Kriyishma. That's where all the yeshivas now admire at 10 o'clock. We don't pass the Rebbe Lazar. Dafka Rebbe Lazar's Zman is over. That's when we start. So why did Rebbe Lazar say, that's not why. But why did Rebbe Lazar say that I have to say it within the first 4 hours? So the Gemara explains that Rebbe Eliezer held that B'shach L'chah means at the time when people go to sleep. So people go to sleep, so it starts to get dark. That's when it starts to people go to sleep. In the olden days, people didn't stay up so long. It was expensive to light candles. There wasn't all that much excitement going on outside. The streets were pitch black. It was dangerous. So what were you doing? You were sitting and learning. Say a little bit. The women had a little bit of work to do, so they lit some candles, and then they stayed up for a few minutes. Nobody stayed up for so long. So after, by 4 hours, after dark already, it's already everyone's sleeping. So that's already no longer B'shbad B'shach B'cha. So everybody else disagreed with Rebbe Lazar. The Chamer of Gamaliel all said, no, you can say Kriyishma the whole night. Why? Because B'shach B'cha doesn't mean when you're going to sleep. B'shach B'cha means when you're sleeping. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sleeping. I'm still in bed. I can still say Kriyishma. So both the Chacham and Rebbe Gamaliel said that Rebbe Eliezer was not right. That they disagreed with the Raisa. How do you define what's considered to be B'shach B'cha? Does B'shach B'cha mean when you're going to sleep? Does B'shach B'cha mean when you are sleeping? The only thing is that the Chacham and Rebbe Gamaliel had a machlekes, should we make a gezeirah derabanan to make you say Kriyishma before Chatzos? So the Chacham said, let's institute a din derabanan l'harchas adam min aveira to say Kriyishma before Chatzos, because otherwise you're going to forget. And Rebbe Gamaliel didn't think you're going to forget. If you're at a chasana, it's late, it's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, when you get home, you'll not mind. If you say Kriyishma when you get home, the world's not going to come to an end, no one's going to forget. So you have three different opinions. On a level of deraisa, there was one basic split between Rabbi Eliezer against the rest of the world. And within those who disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer, he had a further machlekes on a level of derabanan. That's how we ended up with the three shittas. So we for sure don't follow Rabbi Eliezer. There was machlekes that we showed him whether we follow Chacham or Gamaliel. So l'chatchila, we try to follow the Chachamim. So first you try Daf Meir, try to say Kriyishma before Chatzos. For whatever reason you didn't, so you say it, they say it afterwards. But that was all concerning Kriyishma Shel Arvus. So Kriyishma Shel Shacharis is the second Mishnah Brachas. So the Mishnah tells us that there's an early time to say Kriyishma. It's a little bit unclear when that is. The Mishnah gives different shurim, and then the Gemara's other Tanakh, other Shittas. It's sometime before sunrise. It's not exactly clear when the earliest time is. And then the Tanakh had a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, when's the Sof Zman Kriyishma. So Rabbi Eliezer says the Sof Zman Kriyishma is Neitzachama. At sunrise, that's it. After sunrise, it's already too late. Everyone's up by sunrise, it's past the Kumecha. And Rabbi Yeshua said, no, Rabbi Yeshua said that you could still schlep the Kriyishma out for another couple of hours. 3 hours, you could still go. Why? Shekein, name Elohim, come and begin with Shalos. The princes, they are nowhere very important. They have to make a parnassus. So they schlep, so they stayed in bed for a couple more hours. So since the B'nai Melachim are still sleeping, so you could still say Kriyishma until the end of the 3 hours. Why do we follow the B'nai Melachim? So the Ramban in the Melchamas, the beginning of Brachas, explains that Rabbi Yeshua held that since the mitzvah of Kriyishma was written by Lashon Yochid, it says B'shach Uv Kumecha, that's coming to reference this din that for Kriyishma you don't follow the Rov. Most halachas, when you're trying to determine a certain shir in halacha, you follow the Rov B'nei Adam. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer said. But as I said, most people are up by nates. In the old days, people worked in the fields. You get up by nates. It gets hot to work in the field later in the day. Everyone's up early. And but sleep early, so they get up early, bed early to rise. So you get up early in the morning, and you're ready out to work after the sun rises. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, most people were not sleeping until 9 o'clock in the morning. So the efforts by Kriyishma ends by nates. And Rabbi Yeshua said, no, that Zman Kriyishma is different from other Zman or other Shulim Halacha, that it follows Kol Yachid V'Yachid because of Kumecha. Even Rabbi Yeshua doesn't think he follows a Yachid Mamash. Let's say one guy sleeps till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mrs. Boning says, he always sleeps till 2. That's less than a Yachid. That's not even a Yachid. In order to be a Yachid, it's got to be a small minority. It's got to be a respectable, significant minority. It doesn't have to be the road. So the Gemara says, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua on this one. We paskin that Zman Kriyishma goes until the end of 3 hours. That's the time of the B'nai Melachim. So the Kesef Mishnah has a very, very famous kasha on this din. Kesef Mishnah says, how come when it comes to Kriyishma Shalaila, so we paskin like all the Torah will say that you can say it the whole night because that's when people are still sleeping. So you see that we define B'shach B'cha not as when people are going to sleep, but rather at a time when people are sleeping. How come when it comes to Kriyash Bashal Yom, we don't say the same thing? Let's say, it's 6:03 now. I'm calm. I'm awake. I'm almost awake. So a little sleepy, but I'm awake right now. You guys are all awake right now. So you should say Kriyash Bashal Boker. I'll say, I forgot to have a Shachris this morning. So you can still say Kriyash Bashal. Why not? Says the guest Mishnah. If at night, that's tomorrow, Kol Zman Shebnei Adam Shochvim Mitasim is good enough. So Uvkumecha should mean the parallel thing. Kol Zman Shebnei Adam Kumim Mitasim. I'm up. So why does it happen? Why is the Aloha Nikva based on when people are getting up, when they're awakening? It should be totally Bitach on when people are awake, parallel to Shal Mairiv. That's a famous Kashi Kesev Mishnah. Kesev Mishnah gives a very, very famous teretz, which is not accepted in La Locha. Kesev Mishnah says, he thinks that Iruchanam, the question is better than the answer, that the requirement is about Kriyashma in the morning is only Midrabanan. He thinks that Midrais, you can talk and say Kriyashma all day. And a lot of people would like the Kesev Mishnah to be correct, but nobody passes like this. So the Magen Avraham says, Bechlal, we don't accept this Kesev Mishnah Bechlal. That we assume, like the Pashas and all the Sugyas, Kriyashma is Mamashad Dindarais, it's Ba'akav. You miss about Kriyashma, the game's over. So what's the answer to the Kash? So the Rambam says the answer to the Kash is simple dikto, it's Hebrew 101. He said the word Shechiva, the word Kibbe mean two different things. He said Shechiva means I'm lying down. When I'm lying down in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm in a state of Shechiva. A person is walking around at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he's not kum. Kum means to get up, to stand up from your bed. That's what lakum means. You don't say ani kam b'shalosh. When you say ani kam b'shalosh, that means you were sleeping till 3. It means the ani kam has the connotation, says the Magen Avraham, of getting out of bed. So therefore, you can't turn around and say that, well, I'm walking around at 3 o'clock, but you got out of bed at 8 o'clock. So this man kima is defined by when you get out of bed, not when, how long you're walking around. You know, chilami, it is not parallel to shechiva. That correct. What the Kesev Mishnah didn't think was correct, the Magen Avraham says, Taka, that is correct, that the two halachas are not parallel because linguistically, then the word shechiva or kima have different meanings. So that's how we usually assume halacha. It's about Kriyat Shema is a real, real din deraisa. That's the real McCoy. It's the akabat love of deraisa. The Mishnah says, if a guy forgot to say Kriyat Shema, it's 11 o'clock, say it anyway. You don't lose, not a bracha batala, to say the words three pashas of Shema, but you don't gain the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. How do you calculate the hours in terms of Zman Kriyat Shema? So this is part of the general question. How do you always calculate this man? Chazal speak about Zman Kriyat Shema, Zman Tefillah, Zman Biyachomet. Chazal speak about 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. How do you calculate? Where's the starting point? Where's the ending point? So obviously it has to correspond to the daytime, these hours of the day. So what are your two endpoints in order to determine when your Zman and when your shows are? So this was a big machlekes to the Magen Avraham in the Gras. The Magen Avraham said, you start the day at Alos HaShachar, and you end the day at Tzeis Kechavim, and you divide that amount of time into 12 equal portions, and each one of those portions is what we call Shosmanis. So when Chazal say 3 hours, that means three of those portions starting from Alos HaShachar. When Chazal say 4 hours, Chazal say 5 hours, they mean X amount of hours starting from Alos HaShachar. And the Gras says that calculation is not correct. The Gras says that you begin, your two points are... One point is Netzacham, when the sun rises, and the other is Shkizacham, when the sun sets. And then you divide up, again, the same model as the Magen Avraham, you divide up that time into intervals of 12 hours, into 12 portions, I'm sorry, and then each one of those portions is a halachic hour. When three of them pass, that's about Kriyat Shema. So it's going to be a big discrepancy. The Magen Avraham is getting a jump start on the Gra. He's starting hour plus before the Gra. The Gros Manim, they were still sleeping. The Magen Avraham is already well into the hours. So obviously you're going to reach this Manim earlier. So that's why we have different Zmanim that are printed for Zman Kriyat Shema. That the Magen Avraham time is given as one, and the Vilna Gaon time is given as others. Then you have different interpretations, how exactly they calculate it. It could be the Magen Avraham, it could be the Alos HaShachar. There are many, many different shittas when exactly Alos HaShachar is, so many shittas when Tzeis Kechavim is. So it becomes very Labor Day. You have different numbers, even according to the Magen Avraham. So how do we pass in the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah sounds like you should really be machmir in this. Mishnah Berurah quotes both and he says, it's hard to be makel. But a lot of other poskim can be makel on this. So Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that the minig in the yeshivas in Lithuania was lahokal. They used to daven, they were not machmir in Litha on Zman Kriyat Shema with the Magen Avraham. The Moshe was made like that. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav also writes the same thing. He was talking about the issues of Litha. He's saying that in his communities also they weren't machbid on the Zman of the Magen Avraham. They paskin mikvadin like the Gra. So that's where we paskin halach halach l'maisa. Not everyone agrees. Some people like the machbid. They'll say Kriyat Shema early. They'll daven an early minyan to make the Magen Avraham Zman. But most of the communities in America at least are pretty makel on this. Halavai should make this Zman Kriyat Shema of the Gra. This is the easy time of year now. It's after 10 o'clock. What's going to potentially go back down to the one thing. The Congress did us a favor years ago when they switched the daily savings switch over. When I was a kid, so the switch over daily savings used to be like well into April. Now it's beginning of March. So these couple of weeks around Pesach time were whoppers for Zmanim, because my Kriya Shma used to dip all the way down to 8:30, and the worst was always Pesach, because if you just finish the Seder, and then it's like Kriya Shma was 8:30, well, you got to get up at 7:45 to daven for, that's like such a tremendous pesukos effort, but for some people it was. So now Baruch Hashem, it never dips, I think in New York, it never goes before 9:10 or something, give or take, I don't think it ever gets earlier than that. Because our minyan, I know we start Shachar, so Shabbos morning at 8:45 usually. When my Kriya Shma starts to get pushy, so then we move it back to 8:40. We can't go too much further back because Ashkenazi minyan isn't over yet, so we use the same room. And then on the weeks where it really gets to be crunch time, so we'll start Shachar with Rebbe Shpaloima. So that we save in a shame for another 3-4 minutes. So we always make it nicely, even in the worst of the week, so we're still able to get from 8:40 Rebbe Shmuel to Kila Kriya Shmuel, was still able to get it. But thanks to Congress, it would have been otherwise, we've been starting at 7:45 on some place. Anyway, right, so we got the basic bits of Kriya Shmuel, the basic notion, the significance of Zman Kriya Shmuel. So we have to just speak a little bit, maybe we'll pick this up next week, a little bit about who exactly is Chayav in Kriya Shmuel, what the status of women in, what the status of Onanim, and other individuals, how some of these halachas play out in terms of the mitzvah of Kriya Shmuel. Then we'll try to talk a few, a couple of important odds and ends relating to Kriya Shmuel, some of the sugyas of Teruah Misha Erva, and what you're allowed to say Kriya Shmuel in front of people who are not dressed properly. All those sugyas appear in Kriya Shmuel. We'll try to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll slide into Kriya Shmuel, and that's it. Believe it or not, we don't have that many weeks left. We got to gas a little bit on the rest of the stuff. Okay.